those of you who have been around may have some of these sticks in your possession. You have tried various faith practices over Lent, the Lenten period. And now's the time, I'm handing out no more sticks, but now's the time to do something creative with them. So maybe for you they represent the cross and you can glue them together. Maybe there's a couple special ones that you want to continue practicing. Maybe you're going to build something else that's meaningful in your life. Maybe they need to be a raft. But you have 6 or 7 sticks in your possession. If you don't, they're still back there in the corner. You can try a faith practice and see what effect it has on you as we go forward from this Easter day. Eternal God, we come to worship. We praise you. We thank you for all our blessings. We thank you that you call us into your work for justice, mercy, and peace. Dearest Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, we celebrate this day that darkness and evil could not defeat you. We rejoice in your presence among us in sorrow and joy. We thank you for healing and recovery. We thank you for sunrise and new beginnings. Thank you for showing us how to welcome and include. Thank you for teaching us forgiveness and reconciliation. Lead us still into peace and great love. Spirit, Holy Breath, we are yours. Comfort us, inspire us, make us courageous. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. The table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my table. It doesn't belong to St. John's. This is the table of Jesus, and he wants everyone here. Everyone is welcome to eat with him. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be certain. You are welcome at this feast. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Because you have done the completely unexpected deed.
Because you have raised Jesus to eternal life. Because you grant us the presence of the risen Christ among us. Because you offer eternal life to those who trust you. We praise and magnify your name.
Holy God, we invite your Spirit upon this meal. Please bless it. Make this the body of Christ, so that we may feast upon it and become the body of Christ for a hurting world. Amen. Long, long ago, Jesus had one last meal with his friends, the people who had followed him uphill and down across hardships and delights. And he tried to help them understand. When they were sitting at table, he took the bread. He thanked God for it. And he broke it and he said, "This is me, my body given for all of you. Every time you eat, remember me." And after the meal, he took the common cup and he said, "This wine represents a new promise, a new covenant between God and all people. Every time you drink of the cup, remember me. Come, for all things are ready." God of ceaseless new beginnings, we rejoice that Jesus has risen from the tomb. We thank you for this feast. Through Christ in our midst, draw us into a community of freedom, hope, and love. Work your new creation among us, that we may serve you without fear. Amen. Thank you. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends the reading from Mark 16. My message this day is called back. The men were in hiding. Peter, Thomas, Matthew, Andrew, James, and John, they were nowhere to be found. The cleanup crew, the faithful women, though, still had work to do. They walked in the cool, early darkness to be at the tomb when the sun came up. They brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus, to do the tending, the cleaning, the dirty work that women have always done. Many of us, women and men, know this thankless work. Cleaning up wet beds in sickness, making the casserole, doing a neighbor's laundry, or bringing in his crops are genuine gifts of love, relentless love. These chores of love allow recovery, rest, and healing. They provide a cocoon of mercy for the widowed, the grieving, to be still and be cared for. The women came to the tomb in love and duty. This is what one does after death. One applies fragrant oils and spices. That mysterious myrrh the wise men brought to little Jesus, that was a burial spice. The men were hiding out of fear, justified. The same gruesome death might await them. Crucifixion for resurrection. The women felt no more at risk than women always do, invisible, unimportant. The religious and Roman authorities might look for male co-conspirators, but women just cooked and tended children, no threat. So the women moved in the dark to apply oils to the body of the man they loved. The man who healed them and taught them and promised them he would rise again. But they did not really believe such talk, did they? If they believed he would rise again, would they have spent scarce pennies on anointing oils? They followed him and loved him and believed he had come from God, but no one could really imagine they might find him alive and teaching. That would be too crazy. But we know he was. Jesus was alive, teaching, consoling, assuring, and challenging as he always was and is. Meet me in Galilee. There is work to do. Those of us who are lifelong Christians may have figured out who we were. Who are you in the story of Christ's betrayal, trial, torture, and execution? Did you choose selfish greed like Judas? Did you make big, brave commitments in your youthful exuberance like Peter, only to run when the going got tough? Were you a quieter, nameless disciple, just present in the chorus, able to slip away quietly when conflict arrived? Maybe you recognized your sin, you confessed, and you live better. We work for a forgiving God, please be assured. Perhaps, though, we fail to recognize the sinners who got up in the dark and hurried to the tomb. These women had followed Jesus uphill and down. Surely they had tended, nursed, cooked, and cleaned as women always have. They stayed close as Jesus was accused as he died. How could we possibly consider them sinners as they bravely hurried to the cold, dark grave? Their failure is not, it's not lust, it's not greed, it's not selfishness. Their sin is not lack of faith or loyalty. What Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome lacked was imagination. They saw and heard enough to be persuaded that Jesus came from God. Yes, of course. However, they could not possibly imagine he was working among them still. They could not imagine that all he had expected from them on that long, amazing journey, he still expected. They could not comprehend that justice, mercy, peace, and love would be his hold on them until the day they died. In a time of short, hard lives, those hardworking women could never have dreamed that they were still at the feet of a Messiah who would walk with their great-grandchildren's grandchildren. Remember, at first, the women told no one. Most of us suffer from that same sin. Oh, yes, we say we believe. We give a portion of our time and treasure. We bring our children to worship. We sing the songs. We try to live good lives. That's all good. However, we cannot really imagine his presence. Perhaps our knowledge of biology pulls us up short. People do not walk away after 3 days dead. Doesn't happen. Maybe we think the risen Christ, well, sure, he's alive, but he's busy elsewhere with important people. He's hanging out with the Pope or at those peace talks, prodding and pushing. Or maybe our imagination failed because we never ever took it out of the barn. We trudge through life with blinders on, make the donuts pay the bills, make the donuts pay the bills. Meet me in Galilee. There's work to do. When we shovel the snow and bake the cookies and write our checks and get the newsletter in the mail, it seems unfair that this wonderful congregation could ever possibly die. But then we cannot imagine what else we might do. We are working as hard as we know how. Maybe our sin is lack of imagination. Could we imagine Sunday school very different from the one we knew? Could we imagine hymns that do not sound like hymns? Could we imagine church clothes of denim and new members who think and speak and dream differently than anyone our parents knew? Could we imagine Jesus calling us out into the streets, to the state house, to the schools? Could we imagine Jesus demanding our presence in Hungary, in Bolivia, in Nigeria? In Gary's reading from Psalm 118, we declare, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. Every day in our past, every day in our future, our Savior was there, will be there. If we quietly listen, we will hear him call us back to those same old lessons in shiny new clothes. Today's Samaritans may be Presbyterians or Democrats, undocumented immigrants, or someone else our parents told us to avoid. Long, long ago, Jesus told the folks around him, love your enemy. They imagined Romans or pagans or that rich man who abused their child. Tomorrow, when he whispers in your ear, love your enemy, who will come to your mind? He does still say that. When you dream up lovely small ways to give charity, invite strangers, or show love, know that the nudge you feel is Jesus stretching you, calling you into his big visions. Many people moan or sigh when the pastor shows up. They will have to apologize for swearing or drinking or that mean joke. Please never worry about offending me or Reverend Culp or Reverend Bush. Meet me in Galilee. There is work to do. Keep in mind the one who taught you to love one another, forgive, do justice, keep peace. Jesus the Christ is very much alive and sitting right beside you. Amen.